you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Haven't they watched Hard Knocks?
Okay. What's that?
Hasn't anyone seen Hard Knocks? Flusie's a different guy now, right?
I got three rules, right? Be on time, work hard, and respect. Three rules.
Tonight's the last episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
You and George McCaskey are going to be thrilled.
We're going to be professional about it. We're going to be cooperative. We're going to do it the right way.
I found it pretty boring, guys.
Don't tell that to David. I suggest that.
I know. David and I have had some text exchanges where, you know, it's clear he doesn't want to talk about that. So then I make some very fair points about the Cubs, and he defends the Cubs as well.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I mean, the one part was cheesy. Anybody in Chicago could take an L, what they want, W's or like, I don't know who wrote that.
Anybody in Chicago can take the L, but what they really want are W's.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Well, it's all over. It's all over, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully.
I'm not just referring to Hard Knocks.
What's all over?
Exactly.
Cup season or the Hard
it
Knocks?
It feels like more
season.
than Hard Knocks, buddy.
Last night was an ending.
Woo!
On the north side, and then an ending for the HBO series Hard Knocks.
Well,
one
they lost
was
the series to the Buccos.
One ending was pretty well done. The other one was pretty awful.
One was very emotional, and the other was mainly the emotion of one Dustin William Rhodes.
Yeah, Cubs were rough. I went out to that game, went out to see Paul Skeens pitch in person, and did not stay for the whole thing. I had to get home to watch Hard Knocks, or at least the taped version of it.
Did it seem different than it did on television?
The Cubs game?
Show.
The Skeens show, you know, the Cubs had him on the ropes.
I know.
And they did not take advantage.
Loaded the bases
and
on him twice.
When they got the pitch count up in the first couple of innings, you thought maybe this was going to be an opportunity. All it was a tease. But I will say this about Paul Skeens. He didn't obviously have full command of his best stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't have all that he typically does in his arsenal.
They needed those 7-9.
They needed
those runs.
They needed 11 unanswered runs.
That's
this time.
What they need.
But with Paul Skeens, even
at least six.
Even less than at his best, let me tell you, seeing's believing. This kid reaches back, machine-like, Dustin, machine-like, and hits triple digits. And it just looks effortless. I know it's not, but he's so impressive. And it was worth the trip. 5 innings, 6 strikeouts. Cubs didn't get to him, paid the price.
Did you wager on the strikeout?
No, I didn't.
It would have been under.
I know. I'm so glad that I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't let Dustin corrupt me into making another bet that I lost.
Do you owe him something?
I don't know that I do. Maybe I do.
Yeah, we didn't have time this morning. Other things going on back here. So we didn't get to check the tape. But I think both of you might owe me a drink.
Okay, we may do that.
Well, I mean, I buy you a drink. I don't think I owe it to you. I think I'd remember if I owed him something. But let's check the tape.
Beautiful night at the ballpark, though.
Let's hope tomorrow's easier.
Let's hope so.
For tape checking.
It was
yes
tailor-made for a Cub victory, and yet they couldn't touch Skeens. They couldn't score a run, and the bats went silent. And it was just a great night gone bad because the weather was perfect. It was a hint of fall in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Little autumn.
Yeah. Yesterday was
autumnal.
Like, there was a hint of chill to the air.
I think I even smelled a little pumpkin spice.
Oh, it's on the way, buddy.
It's on the way.
On the way.
It's pumpkin spice season.
It is.
I had some pumpkin spice Cheerios.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
That's insane to me.
I have to say, it's not bad.
There's nothing wrong with having pumpkin spice Cheerios, but the fact that you actually went to the store to purchase that is what alarms me. What? Were you just wandering through the aisles?
No, that's a new thing. I saw it advertised. Okay. I looked into it.
So you went specifically to get it?
No, no. I mean, it was kind of with other items, but it was good. I recommend them. Definitely recommend them. But
yeah,
okay. Last night was tough for the Cubs because there's just a sense that what happened the night before, what happened on Monday night was really the time the season got away. You had to win that game.
Mm-hmm. Because there was the possibility you lose this one.
You're going to have the Skeens game.
Yeah.
And you could rationalize and justify and do the math and all the things. But you couldn't lose a game where you led 3-0 in the eighth inning at home.
Couldn't have the Jones loss.
No, you couldn't have the Jones loss.
They were Jonesing for a win.
It's kind of like the Lopez loss, though. It's Lopey. Yeah. Lopey let him down. But he has been great, as Craig Counsell said on this station yesterday. He hasn't only been good for the Cubs. He's been great, and he had a bad night. So now the Cubs, 4.5 back. They drop another game. The problem isn't so much in the standings. It's a calendar.
Well,
you're running out of time.
I mean, the problem is that you got to this point in the standings, and now the calendar is the problem. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. No, that's both.
Yeah.
And also the schedule.
And the schedule. It's going to get a little tougher come Friday.
Well, you lose a series like this. It means you got to win one of those series.
You have a Judge and Ohtani back-to-back.
Well, no, they're not, actually. They're on different teams. I think it's Soto. Wait a minute.
I know, but it's the Judge and the Yankees.
Yes.
Followed by Ohtani and the Dodgers.
Okay.
And in both cases, great for Cub fans to have the kind of exposure to the MVPs in their respective leagues this year.
So who would be the Cubs' answer to Judge or Ohtani?
That's the story of the season.
Belly?
They don't really have one.
They don't.
They don't have that guy.
No.
Bellinger hasn't been that guy this year.
He has not.
With due respect to his numbers and the injuries that have caused him to be limited, he has not been that guy. They don't have a star. And that's the quest for the offseason. Priority one, find a star.
There's one that's available.
Well, that will be the story of the offseason. But I fear or sense, not even fear. Reality is that Juan Soto's not coming to the Chicago Cubs.
Hmm.
Even though we will maybe explore that, discuss that, but it will be, I think, much the way the Ohtani pursuit did. Futile. Just like last night, trying to hit Paul Skeens' 100-mile-per-hour fastball. Goodness sakes, that thing pop. You can hear it.
It
sounds differently in the stands.
You can hear the.
That's why I went. Seeing is believing, but hearing is believing, too. It was something else, Molly. I'm glad I went.
Doubting David. He has to see it.
Doubting David. Like that.
Did you ever doubt it, though? I mean, I don't
know.
No,
I was curious. Yeah, you know, was as much as anything. Had some stuff to do and was out there. Loved seeing, it was great to see Coom and Zach and Espo filled in last night. Pat Hughes had the night off. Great to see our radio crew. They do such a great job.
Oh, tremendous.
Paul Zerang, just a great.
Great people.
Great people.
I agree. I think the Sox played somewhere for some reason, and what was the call? Sox gonna White Sox, that kind of thing. They Reinsdorf
they White
Sox
it up.
No, they Reinsdorf off a play. They totally jerried up the attempt to catch a foul ball.
Well, it was a really ugly play.
Yes,
and we'll talk about it at the pick six, but it came off the bat of Eloy Jimenez,
well,
of all people.
That was the rich, rich, thick as molasses irony of the whole thing.
Jimenez swinging at that first one. Amaya, the shortstop, is called off by Benintendi, and a collision with Forgis. And now Forgis is down as the ball hitting the turf. Now we got to make sure that Forgis is okay because he is still down on the grass.
I think he might have gotten hit with an elbow. We'll have to see. But they're going to check this out.
We saw Amaya peel off as Benintendi's calling it off.
He's hit with the left elbow, it looks to me like.
Ooh.
It is E5. Forgis has got to give way here because it's the left fielder's ball all the way. Lack of communication has plagued the Sox this year, among other things. And this one is painful. Gets the elbow right in the face. And he's down.
He did stay in for a play.
And then he went out. It was ugly in many ways.
The Baltimore call said something like White Sox gonna White Sox.
Yeah, it kind of mocked the Sox.
Kind of mocked them.
Everybody is... It's open season on the White Sox. So you can see why other broadcasting crews are having their say in their way and saying whatever they want to do. Grady Sizemore has seen enough later in the game.
Yeah, he was thrown. Benintendi was thrown out. So you
wasn't Sizemore first and then Benintendi next?
Back to back. He took one pitch. We want to use it now. Ozzie lit up Hunter Wendelstedt. I mean, lit him up. It's awesome.
What do you have to say? How long is it? Ozzy has every right to do that. So did John Schiff. John Schiffen did as well.
I can't see it.
No. All right. So you have Hunter Wendelstedt. He's the home plate umpire.
I wish I'd punch him in the face.
Why? Oh, you have a history with him?
The first guy kicked me out of the game in the big league.
He was?
With no reason.
Hunter Wendelstedt.
Yes. He come out there, and I was playing third baseman, and his dad, he was a
legend.
Big legend.
Name. Yeah.
Then I say, you know what? You know them people your dad is behind.
Uh-oh.
Mm. I told him that. Do you know you people your dad is behind?
You're not a
people
on your dad's behind. Yeah.
Because he kicked me out running out of the field. Like, okay, I went out to second base, and he kicked me out of the game. Like, wait a minute. Do you know who I am?
Whoa.
Don't leave. No, he said, don't leave with your daddy's name. I spent more years in the big league as you. But I think the call we make today, I never argument about calls in TV. Obviously, with the uniform, I did it almost every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the calls you make today, it was horrible.
All right. So, yeah, they lost 9-0. Did these calls have that big of a bearing on the game? No, but if you're Grady Sizemore.
Right, but it felt like old school games. You know, when it's out of hand, 7-8-0, the strike zone expand. That's what we saw today. Old school umpire mentality.
Okay, right, good for them, but everybody making money hitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is what happened. So Benintendi's up. It's a sixth inning.
Terrible.
Calls that a strike.
Yes. Terrible.
And now he's going to feel the wrath of Grady Sizemore.
Yeah. There you go.
Ozzie has a history, obviously, with Hunter Wendelstedt. And not a good one.
Well, he's not even the pimple on the old man's posterior.
Ozzie, the 8 o'clock segment just got a little more interesting because he can expand on that. He wants to punch him in the face. And the frustration is mounting. I don't know how these guys are getting through 12 losses in a row now, 109 and counting. And they're on the doorstep of history. Unfortunately, it's hard to watch. It's hard to talk about. It's hard. It's kind of
more doormat history.
Yeah. Well, they are the doormat of the American League, of the major leagues. But Ozzie and Chuck and Frank, they're still kind of worth the watch. Did not get to see them last night. I was busy watching Hard Knocks, catching up.
Yeah, the Bears are ready now to play.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks is over.
Hard Knocks is over.
Cut their team. It was good for the Bears all the way around. They're human.
Hard Knocks episode?
Yeah.
I liked the last one.
The whole TV series
was
good for
the whole five-episode arc.
Yeah. Yep.
What it did as much as anything was it made this Bears team, which has excited and galvanized the city, unified the city unlike any other sports team in town. It really humanized.
It hyped them up.
The Bears,
yeah,
and it made them likable, more likable, And I think that when you do that with Ryan Poles, who came out of it looking really, I think, like a guy you can relate to. Same with Matt Eberflus. You kind of feel more like he's more relatable. And all the players, the DJ Moore moment was cool. Caleb Williams ending with a sigh and reminding people to focus. There was so much about last night's episode I thought was pretty good. Didn't have a lot of the things behind the scenes a lot of people wanted. But just speaking for myself, I felt like if the Bears went into this hoping for good things to come out of it, they had to be pleased with the way that this improved the entire perception of the organization.
You don't see a lot of emotion usually in those shows, and you saw some from Ryan Poles, and that was interesting.
When he was cutting Adrian Colbert?
Yeah, it was tough for him.
That is interesting because he's still a relatively new general manager. Mm-hmm. This is only the third time he's had to basically cut somebody and end their dream or dash their dream, or however you want to describe it, and that was tough for him.
Right.
It wasn't routine. He hasn't been calloused yet to that degree. And, that's relatable. I thought that they had said or had wanted that to avoid those cut scenes. You're sitting in the office, getting the bad news, and then watching the reaction. I thought they had tried to. I'm glad they didn't. But there wasn't anybody who had an adverse reaction that you would, like, you think, oh, boy, that's bad.
Yeah, I thought it was I thought it was just the pathos, the idea that they both guys were talking to them, and you know, I thought it was a little bit different.
How about Matt Eberflus, the beekeeper?
Yeah, did you see that movie, The Beekeeper?
Well, what a piece of property he has.
Did you see the big E etched into his driveway?
Right. I mean,
that was a little bit more ostentatious or flashy than I would have imagined Eberflus to be. The big E.
I'm not sure he's making all the calls on everything.
What does that mean?
I mean, even
all the upgrades.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe not. It does seem a little bit out of whack that he has relatable Midwestern sensibility, and then you see his driveway with a giant E etched into it, and it just doesn't seem to fit his personality.
The guy coaching in Dallas. What can you say?
Right. A little flashy.
Everything's bigger in Dallas.
A little flashy.
It was back to The Great Gatsby, though. There was that's kind of how they opened the show with the party on the lawn. And, and it kind of got back to the beekeeper.
But it is interesting because you're right. They open it that way. And you see, Flusie comes across. They presented him almost like a country club lifestyle. And yet his mantra, his three main things he tells every player, and they made an issue of this: be on time, work hard, respect. That's pretty simple for a guy that is presented as being that flashy. So I'm not buying it.
Well, I don't know that he's presented as being that flashy. I think he's living that flashy, right? I mean, that's not how he's presented in the show, but that's kind of the undercurrent of it, as you point out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little surprising there, but... Mm-hmm. That you never know. See, you learn something when you watch these shows. I thought they really did a nice job of being consistent with the Caleb Williams focus, or kind of he's kind of the backdrop of everything. The way they cut some of those practice reps was very cool. Watching his variety of different throws and all of the different ways, it got you excited from a football perspective.
Well, he's got a zip.
Yes.
He's got a zip on that
yes,
ball.
Yes, he does.
I was left wondering which was more impressive, Paul Skeens or Caleb Williams.
And then I started thinking about the whole idea of the more spin you put on the ball he talked about. Was that with the interview he did here? He's done so much, I get confused, meaning Caleb Williams, like he's talked so much. But talking about the more spin you put on the ball, the easier it is for the receiver to
I think
catch.
That was with Speaks and Grody.
Yeah, and I felt like I was focused in on that last night. Every throw, I just noticed the rotation.
Focused on the spiral?
Of that ball even more because
of that. You know
what's
really
comment.
Impressive? They're all spirals.
All spirals.
They're all spirals.
Billy Kilmer never threw a spiral. He won.
Who?
Billy Kilmer.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I miss those games.
That was... There's nothing not to like about Caleb Williams. I've yet to see anything I don't like. Ditto Roma Dunze. I love that moment that he and Jalen Johnson were working together.
Roma Dunze is very likable. He's a very likable player.
I love Montez Sweat going over some pass rush stuff. I can watch that stuff all day.
Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of glimpses that I think are worthwhile and what made this series to me something that you didn't want to miss if you were a Bears fan. As maybe as much as it was lacking some things people wanted to see in here, I think overall it did a nice job of letting us kind of have a peek behind the curtain and seeing how training camp came together. And obviously it was presented in package in a way that was mostly positive.
Yeah.
Mostly positive. No and question. The Bears have to be – George McCaskey, ecstatic. Despite his protests, has to be very pleased with the way his organization is perceived today around the NFL. It's better than it was a month ago. No doubt about it.
I don't know if the organization is better, but the perception is.
Well, the perception is. Yeah. The perception, regardless of the reality, what Hard Knocks is all about the perception.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much.
Perception is reality in the NFL, though. You know that.
Very true. Very true. Very amusing. We have a texter checking in saying that Hard Knocks, if the Cubs did that reality show, it would have to be No Knocks.
Last night it was
the tie-in last night's game.
No Knocks last night, not against Skeens the Machine.
No Knocks.
Machine like
no runs, no hope.
Few hits. How many hits did they eke out?
I think five.
Last night was the time to trot out the eek verb. They eked out five hits.
And none. I think they had one hit after they got to, you know, the whole thing was get to the Pirates bullpen. Skeens or whoever out.
Yes, exactly. Like they did. We know what
and
the
they
formula
got
is.
One hit, I think, off the bullpen.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, not the night. Not their night. So they get a chance to salvage one game of the series later tonight, and they've got Shota. It's Shota night.
Yeah.
He's
great.
The news on Justin Steele, we'll talk about that during the pick six.
Oh, we'll have to get into that.
Mixed results, I think.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, some good, some bad, depending on your interpretation of it.
Right.
I think that we talked to Jed Hoyer yesterday, thought he was pretty good. Then Craig Counsell was on the station later talking to Spiegs and Dan Wiederer, and they talked about being, you know, partway through the process. The fact that Jed did not talk before the game to the beat crew, the beat writers for the Cubs, I wondered if that was an indication of just how much they still hope to find out and maybe how little they still know.
It's a good point. And I think we need to talk about not only what was said, but how it was said, et cetera. It's very interesting. I don't know that. I think the general consensus is that good things were said. I don't know that. We're leaving with good news.
Well, we'll talk about it, but whatever was said, I want to know how it relates to whatever was done in terms of the way the Cubs lost and made it much harder for them to be taken seriously as wild card contenders. Because all of a sudden...
They did lose a game, right?
They lost a game.
3.5 to 4.5.
And they came back from the road trip sky high. Sky high with optimism. And we were talking...
Sure.
Before they lost, what was possible, and you thought anything was when they returned from the road trip, and then they lose two in a row to a Pirates team that has no business winning two in a row on the road in September.
That's right. Yep, fair enough. And you mentioned Sky High. Sky lost last night, too.
Did they?
I think that's their seventh straight loss, Brandon. Is that right? They're still in playoff contention, but just by the...
And the Fever clinched, thanks in part to that.
Well, that's right.
That?
The Fever clinched because the Sky lost, and didn't the what was the other team lost? Atlanta.
Atlanta lost, right?
Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Atlanta lost, and the
Fever in.
Caitlin Clark and the Fever are in, which
is great for the WNBA. Because their ratings
are more eyeballs.
Very strong.
It's exactly. more people watching the WNBA playoffs than ever before.
They should be delighted.
And people can resent that if they wish, but it's the reality of having Caitlin Clark on a playoff team.
That's right.
More people are going to watch it.
Yep.
No doubt about it.
All righty, we got to get to the pick six, all the stories of the day. We're going to pick them all apart. We'll chew them up, and we'll have a fun discussion. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or the weight loss options. Was it good to hear Justin Steele say his MRI results were positive, revealing anticipated inflammation, but he expects to pitch again this season? Did last night's result mean that they need him back, or are they going to be okay?
Well, they need him back because it's not over, even though it feels kind of over, frankly. It was really good. The news of the thing, what he had to say was good, but I'm searching for the words that I want to use here. I think he was relatively positive, but when you really watch it a couple of times, you just got the sense that it was a relative positivity, that I don't think we have a complete resolution on this. And I don't know that the injured list is completely off the table. At one point he said that that it felt very much like how things were when he did have to go on the injury list. So I'm not sure that they're completely out of the woods in terms of him back in the rotation and up and running and ready to go. I know he's going to do some long toss today, and you hope he feels better, but I think he really wants to be a part of a playoff push. I'm not sure that that's going to be what ends up happening here. So, yes, the words were positive. The demeanor of the player, I'm not saying he was in any way negative. I just think he had his eyes open. And he was sort of understanding it. And I think the message may have been more positive than the feeling you got watching it.
Well, here's the good news. There's no structural damage at the moment. So at the moment, Tommy John is off the table, as some were trying to speculate and encourage that that's what was going to happen. You know, to people that like to throw wet blankets on top of things. Anyway, by the time they get to L.A., you're going to know whether or not you should throw him again. You could end up getting swept. The Cubs could end up getting swept by the Pirates. They could end up losing two of three or getting swept by the Yankees. And at that point, it will be over. You know, as David said in the first set, you know, time is not on the Cubs' side. Their schedule's not on their side. Their record's not on their side. So at that point, it would be smart for everybody, including Justin Steele, not to push to get back out there and just focus on 2025 Cubs season at that point.
Can't argue with that logic. I have to believe that they are thinking that way as well. You've got to take the long view here. As much as, again, coming back from the road trip before they lost that game on Monday night, the thought was Justin Steele, Paul Skenes, that was going to be the matchup that gave you a chance to win this series and maybe keep a winning streak alive. But now that they have lost two in a row to the Pirates, the calendar is, and the games and the schedule dwindling, you might be in a position where it's not worth bringing him back. Yesterday was the beginning of the information gathering process, but they're in the middle of that process. They're not at the end. So I think when Justin Steele is speaking, it's like trying to review a movie halfway through it. You don't know. You don't have all the information. You don't have all the things in front of you. You can't really say how you feel because you just still are seeking another opinion. Maybe that other opinion will be, well, maybe you should shut it down. If they did shut it down, you'd understand, because he means too much to this team's future. And if you are making decisions about 2025, which Jed Hoyer has done throughout the course of this season,
yep,
then the best interest of 2025, put yourself in the best position to contend next year, might be to put Justin Steele on the shelf now.
Two great questions.
All right, two great questions. So is that it for the Cubs after losing another game to the Pirates last night and Justin Steele's status being so uncertain, as we just talked about? Can you envision them recovering from this latest setback?
It's very difficult. As much as you respect where Craig Counsell is coming from, and his interview yesterday afternoon on the afternoon show was another reminder just how he takes every day and every game as it comes, and he's able to process things and keep an even keel, and that's a great approach. But last night, this series feels like the beginning of the end, and they had an opportunity with a 3-0 lead in the eighth inning Monday night to build on that momentum and look at last night a little differently. But now two straight to a Pirates team that should has no business beating you two in a row at home in September. I don't think Craig Timber happens this year. I think football season started last night in Chicago. I don't like to acknowledge that, but seeing Paul Skeens in person with his machine-like precision wasn't just that. It was the fact that Cubs were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Looks like their bats, which were so hot and had all those runs on that road trip, they came home and they remembered they can't hit. And this has been a team offensively challenged all year. I want to be wrong. But with the Yankees and the Dodgers next on the schedule back-to-back, not sure I'm going to be.
All right. Well, if there was ever in the history of the Cubs in 2024 a must-win statement game, that is tonight. You have your ace. You are at home. You are not supposed to get swept by the Pirates. You're not supposed to lose three in a row. And Craig Timber, because he's got them all in position. Here's the thing about that interview yesterday. And I thought that was about as human as Craig Counsell has sounded, as personal as Craig Counsell has sounded all year. I'm thrilled he's part of the team. I'm thrilled that he talks to the station once a week or every other week, depending. But the idea is he wants to keep guys fresh and not push it and have everybody ready till Craig Timber arrives. Well, okay, Craig Timber is here, and so far, not so good. But I also wonder, going back to the Justin Steele thing, do you think, because Jed Hoyer told us this yesterday, do you think the mindset in the clubhouse changed because Hoyer told us they knew before game one of the series that Steele was going to miss? Do you think that had any effect on the team? Did that bring – it shouldn't, but do you think that potentially that brings the team down?
No.
That the mindset – you don't think that can affect you?
I don't, because they led 3-0 in the eighth inning. That was a bullpen collapse. One guy.
And now we've had two bullpen collapses. So we've had two guys right, giving up home runs that you can't have back-to-back nights. Hey, listen, if they lose tonight, we could have the official start of the NFL season and the end of the Cubs season all in one. Because tomorrow night here on The Score, we've got game one of the NFL season, Ravens-Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't feel like all is lost. I think it was always a long shot. And I think the long shot is still live. I think that the two series back to back against New York and Los Angeles, that could be where it does die. I mean, I understand what the numbers will tell you and how the math works, but I don't feel this morning, you know, honestly, I thought they were going to lose the Skeens game. I didn't think they were going to lose yesterday. So it's hard for me. Because they lost yesterday, though, well, then they better win today. You can't lose a series at this point in the season. But they've been winning series, right? How many series in a row have they won? So this is a misstep without a doubt, and the sort of thing where you go on the road, you know you got to win, and, you know, they breathed. They came home and they went, oh. And unfortunately, it has bitten them with two losses. They can't lose tonight. And they're going to have to somehow do something unexpected. Just because a team has a winning record doesn't mean that they're definitely going to be able to beat the Cubs. I don't think we get ahead of ourselves. I think it's the season. I felt for a while that they were going to come up short, just as they did last year. But this Craig Tember thing is interesting to me. And you're right, Dustin. You know, you wish that the bullpen didn't have two meltdowns back-to-back like that. Because who you trusting now?
That's one of those questions. You know how hard that is to answer.
That's the voice of Dan Weider. He'll be answering Bears questions at 7:25. Are you at all intimidated by the fact that quarterbacks drafted number one are 0-14-1 in their first start since 2002? Is Caleb Williams different, or is it the Bears' talent level that's different? Their own pick was 9th overall, and that's before they even managed to upgrade the roster, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal. You know, this guy was a number one overall pick because they made a great trade, not because the Bears didn't improve last year. And by the way, they're significantly better than they were. I find this statistic to be meaningless in terms of this year's Bears team. I get it. You know, you're taking number one overall, and usually you're going to the worst team in the league. And usually one player is not able to turn around the fortunes of a team. But I think that this is an exception to that rule just because the number one overall pick belonged to Carolina. And it didn't belong to the Bears until they made that deal. And they managed to get that pick for themselves. And as the question implies, they're picking 9th. So there are 8 teams that were worse than them a year ago. And they've gotten significantly better since then. And by the way, that 9th pick in the draft looks awful good from the little bits we've seen of it. So, you know, they've upgraded a lot of their weaponry. I mean, are they perfect? No. But I don't think other number one overall picks has any bearing as to whether or not Caleb Williams is going to win his debut against Tennessee.
Well, numbers don't lie. The trend sometimes is your friend, and sometimes it's not. And if you're a guy that's got the Bears winning double digits, this game on Sunday is a must win. That's one of your double-digit wins. It's against a Titans team that's kind of rebuilding. They're in the process of doing that. So you cannot be part of this statistic and be 0-15-1 if you hope to have a successful season.
You can say the trend is your friend and you can look at the numbers and statistics, but I think that if you're being consistent, everything that we've said about Caleb Williams and the Bears all offseason long is that never has there been a rookie quarterback entered a situation more conducive to winning than him. So if that's the case, none of these numbers matter. This has nothing to do with what happened in 2013 or 2012 with Andrew Luck and whoever. The Bears have a team that you add the quarterback, and they're certainly good enough to talk about a playoff possibility, a playoff contender status. But even without, so you plug the quarterback in, their defense is ready to go. Their weapons are proven for the most part. They've got an offensive line that's a little iffy, but they have all the things that you need. And then you plug in a quarterback, just don't get you beat. Really, the minimum for Caleb Williams on Sunday is don't make mistakes to get the Bears beat. But I even think that's setting the expectations of the bar way too low. I don't buy into how history affects the present necessarily, because I don't think any of those 15 games have anything to do with how the Bears match up against the Titans team coached by Brian Callahan, who's making his NFL head coaching debut.
That's a pick six!
What do you make of wide receiver Rome Odunze working with Jalen Johnson last night on Hard Knocks? How good will Odunze be this season, and how good did he look in that sequence?
He looks good. He looks good in every sequence. I think that you remember that he's the number 9 overall pick, and in any other circumstance, in any other offseason, be like, wow, the Bears' number 9 overall pick is ready to contribute in a big way immediately. Jalen Johnson also showed some leadership. It was one of the cool moments on the final episode of Hard Knocks. There were others. I thought Ryan Poles cutting Adrian Colbert was something that exposed his humanity. It really was emotional for him. The Velus Jones trade offer we didn't know about, which was good information.
Should have traded him.
They weren't going to take anything lower than a fourth rounder. That's interesting that they valued him to that degree. Brett Rypien and his thought process going from discarded quarterback to Minnesota Viking. All these things are behind the curtain peaks that I think that make that made that very watchable. But yeah, Roma Dunze going against Jalen Johnson, I think underscored the leadership qualities that we talked about Jalen Johnson were evident to teammates when they elected him a captain. That was a good follow-up to the story of the weekend. The Bears named 8 captains, Jalen Johnson one of them, and you saw his leadership coming into play by doing a little extra work with Roma Dunze, who looks like he's ready to go.
Well, you're only going to get better going up against Jalen Johnson. That's for sure. And I think it's always good for a rookie who wants to be out there and wants to push. I think it's a good matchup for Jalen on the opposite side, going against Caleb Williams and going up against Roma Dunze. I think it helps everybody. It helps both sides of the ball, that matchup. But if we're going back to some stuff from Hard Knocks last night, I mean, if as good as Ryan Poles ends up looking after this thing, you almost think that he might have been editing the tape himself, right? I mean, that's how good he looks. I mean, it was like a victory lap for him. But the giddiness when basically Velus Jones made the team.
Yeah.
Okay, when he could be on three of the phases of special teams.
Right.
Okay, and switch positions and we have to go back to it, but I think he's like, he made it. Like, and threw his fist in the air. Like, he was thrilled. Like I was right.
Yeah, he has an investment in the guy.
Right, and I found that interesting.
Which is why the guy made the team.
Mm-hmm. And he was giddy that all his coaches and all the position coaches and the coordinators all wanted him part of their game plans.
And when the general manager is pushing a guy, whether he realizes or not, everybody gets on board with him. So, I agree with that, Dustin. I thought that was a very interesting moment within the thing. What I liked about the Roma Dunze thing is that Jalen Johnson goes to him. He wants to work on something. Hey, I want to get 5 more inside, outside. Can you run these routes with me? And Roma Dunze is happy to do it. He's 22. He's got his legs. And then Jalen is struggling with it. It's Dunze looks like the guy that's in charge of that, and they're having an exchange, and it's great to see a Pro Bowl level player working on his game, and it's great to see the young guy happy to go along with it, but also being powerful enough that he's actually winning that battle. So I thought it was a wonderful exchange, and I think things like that are really cool. And that's the kind of inside football that makes teams better. But you're right about Velus Jones. I mean, the general manager drafted that kid, wants him to be the guy. You know, hey, when you draft a guy that high, usually you give him 3 years. So it was no surprise that he made the team. And he does. There's a reason that you drafted him that high, and he has a special ability with that speed. So nothing thus far with that. Now, if they were to pick him up yet? If he doesn't pop, and they stay with him again, now you got a problem.
Yeah, I think that could be a problem. I want to ask before we get to the next question, though: was anything that any of the coaches said about Velus Jones in your mind invalid? Because I don't think that it was. All they did was underscore what we have talked about, or at least tried to be objective about what he offers. Is something they value.
Yeah, but no one mentioned he can't catch the damn ball. No one mentioned that he's got bad hands.
They weren't talking about. They were talking about him being part of those teams, but not being the guy catching the ball on those teams.
Exactly right. That's the way coaches look at that.
I get it.
They try to accentuate the positive.
It's speed and height. Okay, two things that you can't coach up: speed and height. Speed and height. Those that gets you. That gets you half the way up the coach's liking. Speed and height, size, whichever way you want to go.
And I know they included this intentionally, but it also shows you what the league thinks of him if there was a team willing to trade for him.
I wanted more on that, though. Okay. I wanted more.
Let's talk to Weider about that.
I don't even know the team, but I need to know what the pick was.
Okay, could have gotten a pick, a fourth round pick for that. If they get a fifth for him.
Well, it sounded like he would have went for a fourth.
Trade.
Right?
Next question.
It's a good question.
All right, that's Chelly. He'll be here at 8:44. What's the biggest piece of info you're looking to learn when that injury report hits later today? Is there anything that you think could affect your prediction for Sunday's game?
No, I don't think anything's going to affect the fact that I think they're going to win the game. But, I mean, I want Montez Sweat to be maybe not even listed about that or questionable with something. I that's the guy that I'm most looking for. And I hope Tevin Jenkins is okay too. Don't get me wrong. I hope all, you know, the essential players are all ready to go. But you know, if Montez Sweat has a real injury and not just something that's slowing him down a little bit, then you got a major problem.
Well, there's a reason Montez Sweat is not a captain, and we kind of touched on that yesterday, or at least I did, and he needs to be out there today, okay? And I'm sure it's not going to be a big padded hitting practice. He needs to be not riding a bike and not stretching. But the one that is most concerning.
I want to stop you because I need you to clarify that sentence. What is the reason he's not a captain?
Because he doesn't practice. He doesn't. The Bears say how you perform, how you lead by example. That's not leading by example. They barely. You guys know it better than I do. They barely hit each other in these two a days. They're not two a days. They're one a days. There's like five thudded practices. He how many snaps? We go back. He took about 12 snaps in the preseason. Maybe that might be. You know, I put the over under at 15. Preseason snaps. He does not lead by example in practice. That's why he's not a captain.
I think that's grossly unfair.
I think it's crazy.
But I understand where you're coming from.
Then why is he not a captain? Why do you think he's not a captain?
Take him out of practice because he was hitting the quarterback.
Maybe. Well, okay, again, lead by example. What's the?
Did you not see Hard Knocks?
What's the number one rule in football?
He's telling Austin
Booker touch the quarterback.
How to swim move.
Don't touch your quarterback. They've got defensive line coaches, David.
Oh boy!
Well, tell me why he's not the captain. Then
I don't know why.
Well, it's unfair for me to speculate. You speculate.
My speculation is that there's.
Why
more,
do they have a guy who's brand new who's never taken a Bears snap?
Then there are defensive linemen, and they like Kevin Byard more than they like Montez Sweat, and maybe he split the vote with somebody. I don't know, but I don't want to disparage somebody's leadership qualities because he wasn't voted captain. I think Montez Sweat
there's
is
eight of them, and he couldn't make the top eight.
He's one of those guys that you need on the field, and he speaks loudest with his play. To me, he reminds me, as I said yesterday, more of Julius Peppers than he does of any guy who we could reference that wasn't a great leader and had bad practice habits. I don't know that he has bad practice habits at all. I like what I saw in Hard Knocks, him telling Austin Booker.
You didn't see him in practice.
Yes, we did.
That's not practice, David.
Did you not watch?
That's not practice.
Okay.
That's side stuff. There's a difference.
I think that you're
casting aspersions.
I think that you're seeing things to form your argument. We're getting off far afield. If Montez Sweat is on the injury report today, it will be a concern. I don't think anything is going to change my prediction for the Bears winning this game. But I also am curious about the offensive line.
Right. If Tevin Jenkins and Ryan Bates, your first and second left guard,
yes,
are both on that list today and both are like walking around and all of a sudden Bill Murray, okay, not that Bill Murray, but the Bill Murray that's on the Bears is lined up at left guard.
If Bill Murray's stumbling around Bears practice,
you got a problem on Sunday.
Yes.
Well, okay, next question.
Sorry, I stole that question, but Mully made me do it.
Mully made me my do answer.
It. I hijacked it. I did.
You did.
Wow.
First time I'll admit that I hijacked
you just,
a question.
You did it with Travis Bajan couldn't do.
In 10
you
years strong-armed of pick six. Me. 10 years of pick six.
First time he'll admit it.
That's what I said. Thank you for listening.
I'm saying admit it.
Okay. That was Ozzie.
First time it's happened.
That was Ozzie. Was there a play more indicative of this White Sox season than Eloy Jimenez, now an Oriole, lifting a fly ball to left field?
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! The White Sox have just gone full White Sox. And Eloy Jimenez pop-up ends in a collision. Miguel Vargas is down with his face in his glove. Three runs have scored.
That from MASN, two White Sox players colliding. How apropos was this?
I would say that that as a microcosm of the year if there weren't seven or eight other examples that fit the category. Do yourself a favor. Go back over the weekend. Find ChicagoTribune.com and read Paul Sullivan's column about all of the foibles the White Sox have experienced and how they are indicative of this historically bad season. I was sitting next to Sully last night in the press box at Wrigley trying to talk him into writing a book about this disastrous season, because it would be readable if people would talk about how embarrassing this has been and all the things they went through to get to this point. Last night, just the latest example. The fact that Eloy Jimenez was the guy that hit the pop-up was just cruel, cruel irony. Not rich irony. I sat next to Rich Irony in geography class. This is cruel irony. And so, more laughable, embarrassing incidents. I'm glad Vargas is okay, but that was hard to watch.
We used to play the Benny Hill music for me when I'd go on one of those pirating or stealing of the segments. But the Benny Hill music with that highlight sums up the 2024 White Sox.
Yeah, the White Sox went full Reinsdorf there.
Hmm.
No, it's not working. I'm trying to.
Well, is that noun, adjective?
Well, they cherried that up so bad they went full Reinsdorf.
Verb. Okay, so Jerry as a verb.
I just want.
They jerried it up.
I want an unintentional horror to be known as a Reinsdorf in baseball, just as a tribute to what he's done this year.
That's a good quest. From a vocabulary standpoint, you might be better off using it as an adjective. Okay. Reinsdorfian.
They Reinsdorfed up that play.
That's a verb.
Okay, yeah.
Let's have Dustin diagram that sentence. I think if it was Reinsdorfian, it might be more what you're looking for.
Apropos of nothing.
Spell it.
Okay.
Did it get spelled right on the pick six? Yeah. A-P-R-O-P-O-S.
Yes. P-O-S.
S is silent. Like in Des Moines?
Yes,
like in Des Moines if I'm listening to Cubs radio?
Yes, but the city is buzzing.
We've got the extra point next. What can you say about the White Sox? It's been the most Reinsdorfian season ever.
Bingo!
Here we go. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Extra Point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, guys, it's time to think a little bit about college football after week zero and week one. Do you think Notre Dame is overrated at number five in the latest AP poll? How do you feel about the same projections that already have Notre Dame winning enough games against the easy schedule, making the college football playoff? What could get in the way?
What could get in the way of Notre Dame and one of the easiest schedules in the country moving forward is just the fear of the letdown. And Marcus Freeman, in the first couple seasons in South Bend, there's been that one game or two games that you look back with regret. They can't do that this season. They can't do that in season three of the Marcus Freeman era. It's off to a rousing start. Notre Dame jumps from 7-5. That was great to see, and I think indicative and reflective of the schedule ahead. Everybody can do the metrics and look at the math and look at the teams, and it's hard to find a team that you think, well, Notre Dame can't beat them. I think one metric measured Notre Dame as being the team that you could most easily see going undefeated. Now, we're way over our skis now, but that's what happens when you look as good as they did in College Station on the road. That's why they went from 7-5. Very interesting top 25. Oregon wins and drops to 7. How do you do that? They drop 4 spots from 3-7 after winning. That's a loss. USC jumps up 10. They look good in beating Brian Kelly's and the family. I think Miami jumps from 19-12. Very interesting. Keep an eye on the Hurricanes. Keep an eye on the Trojans. And yes, keep an eye on the Fighting Irish. This feels like the beginning of a season that you want to resist it, but it looks like it's possible that this could be a special year in South Bend.
Yeah, it could be a special year in South Bend. They needed to get that first game out of the way, so they did. Here's the thing. Based on schedule, I think they're going to sit there. The team's right behind that, Ole Miss. Okay, they're supposed to be awfully good this year, but they play in the SEC. They're not. They're going to have at least a loss, if not two losses, without a shadow of a doubt. So that's the way you have to look at this. I mean, they started off number 7, Notre Dame. So they went on the road, won a game as an underdog. I think they deserve to be where they were at. What happened? So I don't think it's overrated. And again, everybody, the TV networks, fans, they want Notre Dame as part of this 12-team mix. So that's why they started where they started this year. The only thing that could derail them is probably an injury to the quarterback, or if this offensive line completely falls apart.
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, the reality is that according to the ESPN Football Power Index, the Irish have a 22.4% chance of being unbeaten this year. Based on that schedule, as much as anything else, and not so much as what they do, but what their opponents look like. And I think that presumably their offense will get better, the quarterback will get better, and the line will get better. There are only, according to that power index, there were only 4 teams above a 10% chance. So it's Notre Dame, Penn State, Georgia, and Ohio State are the only ones that they listed with a chance over 10%.
I think Georgia, Ohio State, they make sense. I don't know about Penn State.
Penn State is 12.4%.
That's crazy to me.
So they're second, but I'm saying Notre Dame's in the 20s. Like, it's such a vast difference, but you're right. They could Reinsdorf up one of these games, as they've managed to do, and that would be a problem.
I think with Notre Dame, both with the preseason ranking and with maybe the jump on yesterday, people are making determinations and evaluations based on the schedule more than the roster. The roster may be good enough to win out based on their schedule, but when you look at the roster relative to, let's say, Ohio State or Georgia, I don't think you feel as good. But they're not in the SEC. They've got an independent schedule. They play who they want to play. This year, things are falling into place. But I do think it's because of that more than anything that people are so optimistic.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a lot of reason to believe that this is going to be the year, other than the fact that they do. They're not in a conference. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback, but I don't know what you're going to do if they stack wins. I think they can lose 2 games and still get in, believe it or not.
I do too, but it also will come down to some of the other, you know, things that we're not anticipating in the first year of this 12-team playoff, factors that may be more heavily weighed or that might get in the way. I do think Notre Dame has one of the clearest paths to the playoff.
What's crazy is we have a texter saying, you know, they moved up because Oregon struggled. Oregon, that was amazing that they had a win that was so bad it felt like a loss.
It felt like a loss, and it was treated like a loss.
Yeah.
You drop that far in the top 10. It's basically a show of no confidence.
How can Clemson remain in the top 25, the 25th?
Purely out of respect and tradition. That's it.
They don't deserve that.
They don't deserve that, but I think that there's a sense of, again, A lot of these polls, a lot of these voters look at the schedule and weigh that heavier than the roster. And Clemson's schedule might be conducive to keeping them in the top 25.
But Clemson didn't compete. It wasn't that they got beaten or they got blown out. It's that they didn't belong on the same
field.
They
weren't ready. It was men against boys.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what you get when you ignore the transfer portal, as Dabo Swinney continues to do to his detriment.
Yeah. All right, we got Joe O next. We're going to break down some of the big games coming up this weekend. There's a certain one that's of utmost importance to the fine people of Chicago, and we'll get to it with Joe Ostrowski next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Money, 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 money.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always fun to talk to our buddy Joe Ostrowski. It's that time of year, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Joe, of course, with the BetQL Network. Good morning, Joe. How are you, buddy?
How am I doing? One more sleep, guys, and we're there. Get injury reports today? We finally made it.
Joe, you're looking good there on twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. We are ready for your wisdom. We are ready for your knowledge. We're ready to have some wagertainment, as they say.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I don't know if Bears fans are going to love to hear this, what was going on in the betting market yesterday, but the pros were betting on the Titans, which I find pretty interesting. So most of the offseason, this game was sitting Bears favored by 3.5. And then anytime Caleb would do anything positive in a preseason game, the line would start to budge up. It would go to 4. It eventually gets to 4.5. And it sat there a while. And then all of a sudden yesterday, all this Titans money came in. You guys were talking about the key stat that was making the rounds with these number one overall picks that are quarterbacks starting in week one. Now they've really struggled, even these great quarterbacks. And you know, it's a different situation. You're absolutely right. But as far as the guys that kind of do this for a living, they look at rookie quarterbacks and they put them in that same bucket in that first game. It's just an automatic play against. They're going to play against Jaden Daniels probably. They'll take Tampa going up against Washington. They'll take Seattle laying 6 points against Denver and Bo Nix. But the other different part of this situation is the Bears are favored by more than a field goal. Usually you have these rookie quarterbacks come in and they're sitting there as an underdog. That is not the case here. And this matchup is just so fascinating. Another popular play, which I do agree with, is over 45, because there are a lot of fans that don't realize the ground and pound Titans are dead. This is going to be a completely different look that we see with Callahan. Brings in his father to work with the offensive line, the big weakness that they've had. Spent first-round picks last couple of years on offensive linemen. And Levis is going to sling it. So it's going to be really interesting going against the strength of that Bears secondary with this matchup. But I'm expecting points in this one, guys.
Yeah, I got no problem with the fine folks in Vegas looking at 4.5 and being disturbed. But is the line moving to a point where do they believe the Bears lose or they don't cover?
No, they don't think the Bears are going to lose.
Okay.
At least
that's fine.
Yeah. If we get to a field goal, like, then it's a crazy amount of money. Then you're on that key number, but 3.5, 4.5. And Mully, sometimes there are situations where they're betting that side. So the number moves to a point where they want to bet the Bears side. Like that does happen with pros where, okay, yes, I like the Bears at 3.5, but they don't like the Bears at 4.5, where you've got to win by 5 or more to win the wager.
Joe, how about offensive rookie of the year and Caleb Williams? Good money?
He's the runaway favorite, and there's quite a gap. It's +130 at most places for Caleb to be the offensive rookie of the year. Just how I handicap this award, it's pretty simple. You've got three rookies, quarterbacks, that are expected to play the entire season. Even if your name is Marvin Harrison Jr. and you have a terrific year, that's going to be tough to beat if those guys stay healthy and they put up the numbers that many people expect. So beating any of those quarterbacks is going to be tough. If you were going to go elsewhere, Jaden Daniels does have a higher ceiling. But again, the expectation for the Bears versus the Commanders, so much higher. So it's going to be really difficult, as long as Caleb stays healthy, to beat him. But he's the favorite there, around plus 130. And then just to give you an idea of what the gap is, next is Jaden Daniels, and he's at 6-1. So the expectation is this is Caleb's award to lose.
So I'm just curious, when we talk about the number kind of getting built up around the fact that they did well in the preseason, or Caleb had a big moment in the preseason, do the season totals have the same sort of bump? It seems to me the Bears are favored by almost a full victory more than they were when the line opened.
Yeah, I mean, you compare it to last year and all the changes they've had, and around this time a season ago, like, are they going to be favored at all this year? And then I was just looking at it, because they set numbers on every game for the entire season. Of course, there will be adjustments, but the Bears are favored in 10 games. I mean, there's a lot of coin flip stuff where it's one or two and injuries will dictate change, but the Bears are favored to win 10 games. The win total's 8.5. When that first came out, it was, you know, a coin flip. There's no juice on either side. Then after Caleb, after some of the other moves that they made, the juice goes way up. There are some sports books that now have it at 9, which is amazing to me that, okay, if you're going to bet that over 9, for me to win my bet, I got to get to 10 wins. That's the only way I can win that bet. And the expectation is, this is the third best team in the division. Like, that is a stack. That's very difficult to do. Yep. To be the third place team and get to that 10 win mark. If you're positive on the Bears, I think the better bet is just to make the playoffs, because you don't have to lay juice. That's a pick'em scenario where, yes, to make the playoffs. It's going to be tough to win that division, certainly with the Lions.
All right, Joe, give us a value pick on the Super Bowl.
All right, Super Bowl. I'm high on Philadelphia in the NFC. The difficult part is changing both coordinators, but Vic Fangio is going to improve things the way that secondary looked at the end of last year.
Okay.
And I am concerned about the loss of Kelce on the line. It's fascinating because they're kind of building this team unlike they have in the past. They spend money on the running back. They've paid their receivers, where they used to worry about the trenches, and now they lose Kelce, then they lose Riddick. So that's interesting. But you look at the division, I'm down on the Cowboys. The other two teams, they're not there yet right now. And as far as the top of the NFC, yeah, I really like them. Obviously, most people are going to talk about San Francisco. I don't think it's going to be as easy as it was a year ago. A lot of stuff I don't like in the offseason. So I like Philadelphia. I feel like I'm kind of cheating, not giving you any value if I say Kansas City. I'm not going to argue against it. But the AFC team I'll pick is Cincinnati. Hmm. Get this thing figured out with Ja'Marr Chase. You know, they had a winning record without Burrow last year.
Right.
And I still trust that defense. They brought in two new safeties, one that was there in the past. They were awful but last year. But I think Lou Anarumo is going to be able to figure that out. The Bengals last year had one of the toughest schedules we've seen in the last decade in the league, and they have a very soft schedule this season, even though they're in a tough division. So I'm going Cincinnati, Philadelphia.
What about a college play this weekend? Is there anything that jumps out at you?
Michigan jumps out.
Okay.
That's more than a touchdown now. I understand being down on Michigan with all the change in the offseason, and they weren't all that impressive in week number one. But Texas on the road, favored. You're going to the Big House, and you're favored by more than a touchdown.
Hook 'em horns.
At this point, yeah, that's a bit much for me. So, week two in college football, certainly looking at some of the overreaction we see. That line opened at 5, and then it shot up to 7.5. Like, yeah, just like the NFL, we'll talk about it next week. Huge overreaction in college.
Great stuff, Joe. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
All righty. That is our guy, Joe Ostrowski. Always fun to talk to Joe, and we are going to get into it a little bit. 312-644-6767. Man, it's exciting, isn't it? It's so exciting that the football season kicks off.
Bears back to practice tomorrow.
Yep.
Caleb Williams, after his starring role in Hard Knocks, back on the field. What was your takeaway from Hard Knocks? If you wanted to have that, we can also look ahead. Let's just talk Bears because it's game week.
312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.